Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the text for our sermon is the reading focusing on the 26th and 27th verse. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Great multitudes were following Jesus. His preaching was successful. His message reached the people. Many want to follow him. They are touched by what Jesus has told them. But what Jesus is now saying is not very inviting. He does not say that he is very happy and honored that they have come to him. He does not cautiously tell them, well, what does it mean to follow him or to be with him? Hard and rough, that's what he's telling them. Nothing here of winning advertising. He massively confronts them with the dangers, what will come. That is what it is like to follow him. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What? What is Jesus here saying? What about the fourth commandment? The first one to which a promise is attached. Does Jesus here annul it? Does Jesus here abolish the law given by God on Sinai? Does he contradict his apostles Paul, who later on proclaims even this commandment as binding and valid for the Christians? Well, is he speaking against us, who have faithfully learned Luther's small catechism and included in there, of course, the fourth commandment? And isn't Jesus here not destroying the family, the foundation of any society? Let's imagine what it was like when Jesus called the apostles. Jesus is walking at the shore of the Lake Gennesaret. He is seeing Peter and Andrew and says to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and followed him, as Evangelist Mark records it. But what did Peter's wife say to that? What did Peter's mother-in-law say to it? His siblings, when their breadwinner left them? That is of no interest to the evangelists. They don't tell us. But if you imagine it, maybe it was something like that. "Why are you leaving? We need you here. You can be a pious man here. Why are you doing such a crazy thing, leaving us behind? We need you." Who is going to throw out the nets in the lake? Who is going to make a living for us all? If you really love us, you stay here. Here we have the conflict in this situation. A conflict between Jesus' call to follow him and the love to the one who you love as your relatives. The love to your relatives and Jesus' call compete. And when Jesus says here that only they who hate their closest relatives can follow him, then he does not say that there is a fundamental opposition between love of God and love of one's family. But there can be an opposition. God may call somebody in such a way that this person must follow God's word, even if he is accused to destroy thereby his family. To follow Jesus, and that means for us today, when Jesus no longer walks visibly among us, to believe in Christ does not mean that you have a certain corner in your life where you go when you feel the need to satisfy your religious disposition. To follow Jesus, and again, that means to believe in Christ. That means that in everything, he is number one. That everything is subordinate to him, even that which is most precious to us. And, if necessary, that we sever ourselves from that what we love. Who does not want to have a good relationship with his parents? Who does not want to have a happy marriage, a family that lives together in harmony? And blessed are those who have all of that in Christ. But Jesus does not tolerate any competition, not even if it is the family which God has instituted himself at the beginning of creation, which God himself has blessed, on which God himself has put a promise. If family does no longer want to be family under God, if a family wants to determine the life of its members totally, if the closeness of the family is the supreme value, as in the case of one family where when a daughter joined the Lutheran church, then family council was held and they said, well, but that will split the family. If splitting the family is the supreme goal and not following God's word, then family actually has a demonic face. It becomes an idol. It places itself in God's stead. And then the first commandment has to be proclaimed, as Jesus does it here in our text. God is first, and everything else is second. But you do not only have to resist those others in your family, in your surrounding, your friends, which might want to keep you from following God's word. Also, the one who follows Jesus has to hate himself, because he himself, of course, is in danger to put himself on number one of his list of priorities. But following Jesus, believing Christ, is not first of all about feeling good or that you get something out of it. Be it expressed so crudely as in a health and wealth gospel, who has Jesus, Jesus heal of all sickness, he will give wealth, because God only wants the best for his children. So actually, it's pretty lucrative to be a Christian. That's crude. But there are also more subtle ways of this kind of approach. For example, saying, well, Jesus gives a meaning to my life, therefore I believe in him. No, who believes in Christ, who follows him, in order to satisfy any desires, who follows Jesus under circumconditions, I won't give up this thing or another thing, he is not apt for the kingdom of God. Who believes in Christ, who follows him without any condition. And who believes in Christ, who follows him, he does not get any guarantees that he will have a healthy life, a life in wealth, or at least quite comfortable, a life with a happy family, a life in which God fulfills his wishes. Who thinks that is the most important, he has not understood about what Christ is talking here. Not looking at my desires, wishes, my needs is the thing which counts, but looking at Christ. What does he want that I do? And this way with Jesus can go to the extreme. He says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To follow Jesus, to believe in him, can mean that you have to die for him. Of course, we thank God that we do not live in a country where Christianity is persecuted, where we actually will live in the danger that somebody would knock on our door and then ask the question, are you a Christian? And if you say yes, you know that you will disappear in some dungeon, that your life now is over. But even if you don't live in this kind of danger, When Jesus talks about here taking his cross upon oneself, and that means risking life, he shows us that being a Christian is not only an increase of natural life. And sometimes being a Christian can mean that our life is not only increased, not increased, but it seems to be decreased or even destroyed up to physical destruction. The new world which has begun in Christ and the old world sick in sin are in a strife, in a struggle which affects every family and which affects every man. But Lord, who can be saved? So high are the conditions of following Christ, to believe in Christ. Who can fulfill them? Who of us has the ability, the strength, to put Christ in everything in the first place of his priority list? Who has the power not to follow his wishes and desires, but to ask first, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who is not afraid to sacrifice his life for Christ? We all wish for ourselves a happy life, a good life. But what when the living with Christ means sacrifice? Sacrifice and decrease of our life. Will we have the power to follow him? It's impossible with man, but for God all things are possible. Jesus has called us in to believe in him. He has called us to follow him. And we are not just trotting behind him, who is somewhere way out before us, and we don't sometimes lose sight of him. But our Lord is with us. He leads us. He pulls us, he carries us. He gives us strength through his word. He forgives us our sins and therefore gives us the power to follow him. And he feeds us on our way with the manna of the New Testament. By that, and only by that, in this close relationship, following his way, having strength with his cross, we can stay with him and have this, what's most important, always a number one of our priority list, Christ himself. Christ himself. So this text of today preaches to us the law. It preaches us, that shows us how we are. We are not like what Christ wants us to be. But Christ can and will transform us. He will transform us from selfish beings into beings in love. And our desires for happiness, for harmony, peace and understanding in the world, but also in the church, how understandable they are. They are not the first and foremost thing. They are not the most important thing. It's not most important that you are liked, that you are happy. But the most important thing is to listen to Jesus Christ, to listen to his word, and have this word as number one in your life. And then everything else will follow. Even if that means destruction of yourself, you'll still be with the Lord. And thereby you will have life everlasting. Amen.